The Bob Zadek Show on Talk 910, San Francisco's talk station.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Bob Zadek Show every Sunday at 9 a.m., the only live libertarian talk radio show on the air all weekend. Hard to believe, but this is it. Your one-stop shopping for liberty in America. Thanks so much for listening. I am your eponymous host, Bob Zadek, 800-345-5639. And today we have a special, this is our annual psychological help show. We only do this once a year. We are going to run a one-hour support group. So this is the station to listen to and the number to call if you have been groped at the airport and want to share your experience and want help in overcoming the experience. To help you overcome your life as a gropee, I'm happy to welcome to the show Jim Bavard. Jim is an investigative journalist and author of 8 or 10 or 20 books. I kind of have lost track. Jim is a professional, self-identified troublemaker. His particular target of choice is TSA and Homeland Security. Jim is on the phone with me for the entire hour to help you get over the trauma that you may have experienced by having your junk be fondled at the airport. Jim, welcome this morning, and thanks for providing all of this help to our listeners.
Hey, Bob, thanks for having me on your show. I appreciate that.
Now, Jim, the subject this morning is TSA, which, of course, is yet another government anagram, which was formed as the deck chairs on the Titanic were moved around in the aftermath of 9/11. It was not really a new agency created, just a lot of boxes moved around, and most importantly, tons of money put into the newly formed TSA box. Now, TSA is formed. Its mission is to make travel safe. And their primary presence, but not their only presence, is at the airports. They, of course, have SWAT teams crashing into Greyhound buses on surprise checks and checking trains as well. But most Americans experience TSA and the attendant groping and x-raying at the airports. Now, TSA is a pretty large agency, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got about 45,000 TSA screeners who work at the airports and do, hassle folks. And, it's a little bit similar to the Folsom Street Fair, except that people that go there volunteer.
Now, for those people who have the misfortune of not to live in San Francisco, the Folsom Street Fair, which I drive through once a year when I drive home from the station, it is an annual, if you can imagine it, black leather, basically a gay men's party on Folsom Street, which is kind of ground zero for black leather gay men's life in San Francisco. And probably the most important feature in the black leather Folsom Street Fair is that while they are wearing black leather clothing, parts of their body are not by accident left uncovered. It's a pretty unpleasant thing to drive through, actually, but that's the Folsom Street Fair. Now, Jim, TSA has a pretty large budget, don't they?
Quite a few billion dollars, which they're very proud of, which they defend. But it's interesting. The agency is very arrogant and arbitrary, and if someone gets abused by them, the chance of getting any answers or justice are almost nil. But it's interesting because this is an agency that's been hammered by the Inspector General for the Homeland Security, by the Government Accountability Office, a lot of private investigations. You have all these screeners. You have these very fancy whole body scanners, and They're almost completely incompetent at discovering weapons and mock explosives when the IG agents choose to smuggle them through and to test the system.
Now, the racket or the cover that TSA has is that it is impossible, other than the Inspector General report that we'll get back to in a second, it is fairly impossible for the average American, if there is such a thing, for the average American to determine whether they are getting value, because every day that there is not something bad which happened in the air, that sort of could, by TSA's own count, endure to their benefit. That is, something didn't happen because of TSA. So how is it, how can one determine if we are getting any value for the for A, the enormous sums we are spending, and B, to me, far more importantly, for the incredible compromise in our liberty and our privacy that we surrender? So not only do we surrender big bucks, we surrender huge swaths of liberty. How can we tell if we are getting any value at all for that surrender of money and liberty?
Well, the first thing that's important is to not to trust the government as far as their own claims, because there are so many different things that the government has already been caught lying about for the TSA and other programs. It's very important to see how the government has basically covered up so many of its biggest failures. There have been over 400 TSA agents who have been fired because they were caught stealing from luggage, stealing from people who were going through the screening process. And yet the agency insists that it's doing a very careful job of choosing the people who would protect us from all harm. The TSA's history is like an unending series of scandals, and yet many of the TSA officials and agents talk as if they are entitled to perpetual deference, even though, in spite of all the screw-ups.
Now, give us some examples, if you will. You mentioned, in general, various screw-ups, and I don't know if you used the word scandal, but that was the implication. Give us some examples of that, just so our friends out there don't understand you're just lobbing out invectives, to borrow a phrase from my Gene Shepard, that you're not lobbing out invectives without any support.
Well, I mentioned the IG report. The IG found that TSA
agents— The IG is the Inspector General, which is an independent agency within TSA, which is designed to audit them.
Right. Well, yeah, it's the Homeland Security Inspector General, which has oversight over TSA and many other branches of the Homeland Security, found that TSA failed 95% of the time to detect the weapons and bombs. There are so many different levels of BS here. There's something that TSA runs, which is called the SPOT program, which is the screening of passengers by observation techniques, which they've got thousands of TSA agents.
Notice the acronym. I am amazed at how skillful government is at designing acronyms. The Patriot Act was a Patriot. Each letter of Patriot was a first word of an acronym. It's astonishing to me how good government is at building acronyms. Go ahead, the SPOT program.
Yeah, well, it's too bad the government spends more time crafting the acronyms than designing good programs. But this the SPOT program, they've got thousands of TSA agents going through airports doing chat downs and watching for micro expressions of travelers that might signal someone's a terrorist or planning to bomb an airplane. But if you look at the actual list of the warning signs for terrorists, these agents look for, it's things like yawning, wringing of hands, widely open staring eyes, gazing down. But my favorite warning sign that TSA uses for terrorists is someone who has excessive complaints about the screening process, which is probably not the first trick that the people in Al-Qaeda test their would-be hijackers.
So if you thought you enjoyed freedom of speech in America, if you thought that was ensured by the First Amendment to the Constitution, and it was first for a reason. That is the most important of the Bill of the Rights, protected in the Bill of Rights. You don't have it because somebody, some TSA agent wearing a blue uniform can punish you for exercising your free speech rights and merely complaining about the process. So that is one of the official, if you will, hallmarks that these people who are trained in psychology by the TSA to spot terrorists look for as being a sign you're a terrorist. So if you are out there and you have complained about TSA, please turn yourself in.
That's good advice. It's about as good as it gets. Yeah, and it's just, I mean, this is, there are so many things the agency does that simply are a mockery of common sense. And yet the agency has been able to maintain its power. Congress pisses and moans every now and then, but it really has not put the shoulder to, you know, punishing the agency for its abuses of the American people.
It's funny. The founding fathers expected Congress to be a watchdog for the American people, to keep a leash on the executive agencies, which from the history of the King George, it was the king's agents that tyrannized the Americans. It wasn't the king himself. But Congress has utterly failed to put a leash on the TSA.
Well, nobody does, and we have done here at the Bob Zadig Show many shows on the unaccountability of the agencies in the executive branch, and there has been a profound abdication both by Congress and by the Supreme Court in ceding so much power to the administrative agencies. And this is like perhaps the most significant example of that. Nobody watches them, but nobody denies them funding. And so they get, because they are keeping the homeland safe, they are given almost a carte blanche in government with no accountability and all the funding they could possibly want.
Yeah, and there's scandals after scandals. I did a story for the New York Times 11 years ago on how the TSA, so many of the TSA agents were thieves, robbing passengers, which kind of made a mockery of the agency's pretense that they've chosen the best and the brightest to be scanners. And these people should be trusted with arbitrary power over the rest of us. There was a hubbub on that shortly. When I was doing that, the TSA denied there was any problem. About 4 to 6 weeks later, the TSA paid a nationwide class action settlement for people who had been robbed by TSA agents. But this is a scandal which has gone on and on and on. And there are so many other scandals, and they really haven't About the only thing which the agency has learned is to keep lying and covering up its abuses, because that's the only way it's been able to preserve its clout.
And one thing, you know, you mentioned about in passing, and I want to come back and visit this issue, because I consider the issue I'm about to identify as being one of the most significant issues in the whole structure and existence of TSA. If we think back, everybody out there thinks back to their own experience in flying. Now, for sure, the right to move freely from place to place is an unenumerated but very important right that we cherish. Indeed, in the world, that is the right to move from place to place is in all societies valued as an important right. And if you understand that one TSA agent, one agent who is relatively untrained, probably somebody who applied to the TSA when he was rejected by DMV, and he applied to TSA and was given the job and a blue uniform, that individual can almost acting alone, without anything like vaguely resembling due process, can deny you the right to travel. They can kick you off a plane. And think of how much power is concentrated in one unskilled, untrained individual. That statement alone, that concept, ought to be a scathing indictment of the whole apparatus. Am I overstating it, or doesn't a single agent have fairly significant power over you?
Well, this is a huge part of the trouble with TSA, is there is a lot of arbitrary power that these low-level, not very well-trained, and sometimes arrogant and whatever folks are out there doing. It's an agency which is trying to make people think that its own arbitrary power is the key to making us all safe. But as usual with the federal agency, once it has arbitrary power, everything is goes to hell basically, because the agents are off the leash.
They're totally off the leash with no accountability, and to some degree, their skill is measured by how much travel they prevent. That is, how many possible terrorists, not actual terrorists, but possible terrorists, they catch. If they don't ever catch anybody, they can't justify their existence. It's like police officers getting, whose performance is measured by how many tickets they write. Well, of course, they will be incented to write a whole lot of tickets. Well, TSA agents are incented to stop a lot of people, or else they can't justify their existence. Now, the issue is, of what strikes me as being strange is, here we are with a system, and some of us are old enough to remember pre-TSA. Indeed, Jim, I often will rent or download old 1950 movies just to see, with nostalgia, Cary Grant getting out of a cab and walking to the airplane directly, uninterrupted, and being treated with great respect by the travel personnel along the way. Most of the people listening to the show, or many of them, and an increasing number, never experienced travel without TSA. And the problem is, once you grow up with TSA, that becomes the norm. And you don't even know what life was like pre-TSA. And therefore, we become docile and accepting of it, because that's the way it's always been.
Well, yeah. I mean, and it's interesting to see the evolution of TSA over the last 14 years, because the agency's become far more aggressive, far more groping, far more punitive power. A sea change occurred in 2010 with the widespread adoption of these whole body X-ray things, which could basically take a birthday suit photo of you in the nude. I mean, for instance, I mean, and the photos are so detailed that it's possible to tell if a male has been circumcised or if a female has an IUD. And the TSA claimed, well, they're sort of vague. Yeah, BS, bunch of nonsense. TSA claims that the photos are not being kept, but similar X-ray machines have been used elsewhere, and they were programmed to capture the photos. And even if the TSA software itself is not capturing them, it's possible to have the TSA agent can be sitting there with his cell phone and snapping pictures of the images on screen. So do you really want a birthday suit photo in your federal dossier?
Now, you mentioned the scanners, and we're going to spend a little bit more time on the scanners. But in merely reading mainstream media, I followed the introduction of the scanners, then the evolution as they reject one scanner in favor of another. And what occurs to me is, when they institute a series of scanners and then reject them, each of those scanners that gets rejected must cost an awful lot of money. And what do they do with the rejected scanners? They don't find their way to Cuba to be used in Cuba. So what happens to all the scanners? And isn't that a fairly large amount of money that's being thrown away?
Well, the TSA has had a long series of pratfalls on its technology. And again, for instance, a lot of the whole body scanners, which they adopted in late 2010, use radiation to supposedly look under people's clothes and things like that. Well, if you're a pregnant woman, if you've got other health issues, you don't really want to get radiated by the feds every time that you travel. And it was fine to see the TSA's how it tried to cover this up. One of my favorite defenses that they used was there was some TSA guy who was saying, "Well, you don't have to worry about the radiation level because TSA checks those machines." And for some of them, it turned out that they were being checked once a year to see what their radiation emission level was. So, yeah, once a year—that's close enough for government work. but there were plenty of reasons to object to those. And it's when I was traveling last month out to the West Coast. Watching folks and watching TSA agents bark at people, it was like a bunch of prison guards barking at a bunch of convicts going to the prison shower. Raise your hands, higher, higher, you know. And if someone chooses to opt out and chooses to go with a pat down instead of the whole body scanner, then those people were sometimes targeted for punitive treatment, as I found out in Portland, Oregon. So.
You know, when you were talking, what resonated with me is here I am. I have a reasonable place in society and within my profession. I'm respected and I certainly am law abiding. And yet I find myself, I'm waiting in TSA line and I find myself monitoring my own speech, and I find myself afraid that if I allow my annoying personality to creep out and make a wisecrack. Sorry, that was unintended, and I hope I don't get thrown off the air by the FCC. I make a wisecrack. I could be asked to step out of the line. And what is there about society in America that makes me and millions like me be afraid of my own government for merely speaking? It is astonishing, and yet our country accepts that. And we just there isn't an uproar at this incredible loss of free speech, which is not harmful. I'm not saying yell fire in a crowded theater, just making a wisecrack. And you could miss your plane and not see and not make an appointment. And how we are so accepting of it is scary to me, at how quick we are to, with a deep sigh, give up core American values.
Well, it's interesting to the kind of reactions and patter that one hears in a TSA screening point waiting line. Most of the time, there's folks in those lines where I can kind of sense that they're bristling or kind of like a bunch of nonsense. But there's often others, perhaps more of them, who would be happy to do anything. Who would be happy to submit to a body cavity search if the federal agents told them it would make them make them safe? There are so many Americans who are willing to give up any and all of their freedom and their dignity and their privacy simply for a bogus promise from the government to keep them safe.
This is Bob Zadig. I'm speaking with Jim Bavard. Jim has made a study of TSA. He has lots of stories to share. Call us with your stories, 800-345-5639.
You're listening to The Bob Zadig Show on Talk 910, San Francisco's talk station.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Bob Zadig Show every Sunday at 9 a.m., the only live libertarian talk radio show on the air all weekend. proudly and always the show of ideas, not attitude. Thanks so much for listening this morning to my conversation with Jim Bavard. Jim is an author, an investigative journalist, a troublemaker who has made a very productive life's work out of examining the foibles and the abuses of TSA. Jim, thanks so much for joining us this morning, 800-345-5639, to join my conversation with Jim at any time. You know, Jim, I'm sure you do know, there is a core principle of constitutional law that says, basically, and I'm going to paraphrase it, of course, when the government is seeking to encroach upon basic core rights, constitutional rights that America has, it must do so in the least intrusive way possible, and it must assure Americans constitutionally that there is no less intrusive way to accomplish the goal that government is trying to accomplish. TSA is an example of just the opposite, where anything that America, that the government would do to make us safer would be less intrusive and more effective than TSA. It is like a cop-out. It is the most expensive and the least effective rather than the least expensive and the most effective. And most importantly, it is it.